Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Joining us on this unusual day, it's a Wednesday. Normally these are live on a Monday at 9 p.m. GMT, but today we're going live on a Wednesday. Joining me today, it's just the two of us. It's Martin. How are
just
you, Martin?
Just the two of us. I mean, we were singing this just before, but it is just the two of us. How's it going, Robin? Are you well?
I've got a heavy cold, but otherwise I'm all right. I've got my hot water and honey and lemon prescribed by Dr. Martin over here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, I had that a few weeks ago, and I've still got the kind of remnants of a cold still now, too. So I'm not sure it works, but it's it makes you feel good. It's like, it's the placebo effect, right? That's what it's all about.
It is very warming, and there's that bit of sweetness from the honey. It's like, yes. Very nice. Well, today we shall be discussing animals that defied evolution.
What?
Oh, yes, what? I know. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yeah.
This was actually a suggestion brought to us by Alex, who sadly isn't with us today. Today, many of you who pay attention to British politics will know that the First Minister of Scotland resigned unexpectedly today, and Alex is just so heartbroken. He's gone to join the vigil. I mean, and mourn the loss.
That's the theory that he's giving, but I think he's actually making his challenge to be Scottish Premier.
Of course,
He's becoming the Premier of the SNP because now he is fully Scottish after living there for about a year.
He's going to step into the breach. He'll be wearing woad on his face and kilts up the wazoo.
Exactly. So he's getting his notes together. He's going door to door, banging on Scottish people's doors and putting on a pretty terrible Scottish accent to try and get that SNP vote on side.
My name's Alex Brun. Alex Brun. Hey, that's my name.
Yeah, exactly. Know. That's what he's doing.
Well, thank you for everyone joining us live in the chat. I see lots of familiar faces. You shall be privileged to experience not only our discussion of animals that defied evolution, but also before that, we shall be addressing our favourite comments of the last week or so on previous episodes or just in the live chat if you're joining us live. We also, sadly, will not be doing a quiz today because it's kind of awkward with just the
might
two
be
of
bit,
us.
Might be a bit easy.
Yeah. Might be.
Little probably win.
Oh my gosh. Just Alex Singer's in the chat.
What? Well, why isn't he here then?
Sorry, I can't be there tonight, guys. Wait a minute. You can't comment in the chat, Alex.
You can't do that.
But you can't do that. Come on.
Get back to knocking on doors.
Yeah. How's the leafleting going, Alex? Let us know. But I thought I'd also, because we don't have a quiz, I can at least do the riddle at the beginning.
Actually,
and then maybe
do,
you can solve it. Yeah. And then, that's it, isn't it? That's what we normally do. It's just, I've forgotten what we normally do in an episode. Now there's only two of us. What do we normally do?
I know. It's thrown us completely.
Completely thrown me. Yeah. So would you like to hear a riddle, Martin?
Yes, please. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, I thought I'd indulge myself here because it's just the two of us and because I wanted to kind of challenge you a little bit because I know that you're clever. Alex is a bit dumb, let's be honest. So I thought I'd bring a longer riddle. I know, I'm just outrageously. Alex is not dumb. I don't think that actually. I don't know why I said it. I just thought I would. But I thought I'd indulge you myself by bringing my favourite Anglo-Saxon riddle to the table.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a longer one.
Okay.
But hopefully you can get it. It is my favourite one. I'll read it in translation. No, I won't read it in Old English. Don't worry. That would be impossible.
That'd be quite something.
So everyone in the comments, if you have an idea of what this riddle might be, feel free to put it into the comments. This is a bit of a... It might be a bit of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to need help on this one, guys. I need your help.
A curious thing hangs by a man's thigh under the lap of its lord.
Not sure about this.
In its front, it is pierced. It is stiff and hard.
Oh, shut
it has
up,
a
baby.
Good position.
Shut up. Come on.
When the man lifts his garment above his knee, he intends to greet with the head of this hanging object that familiar hole which is the same length and which it's often filled before. That is the riddle. Would you like me to read it again?
Yeah, go on.
A My curious God. Thing hangs by a man's thigh, mm-hmm. under the lap of its lord. In its front it is pierced. It is stiff and hard. It has a good position. When the man lifts his garment above his knee, he intends to greet with the head of this hanging object that familiar hole which is the same length and which he has often filled before.
Okay, well, it's definitely a cock.
just go out there.
Could it be what, like a sword sheath or something?
Ooh.
Shing.
Good.
I don't know.
Good guess, actually.
But no.
Hmm. That's not the commonly accepted answer to this one.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm glad that you're already thinking outside the box and not going for the obvious answer. Because
Okay, tough one. I'll have a think about it throughout the episode, and I'll of course.
Yeah, we'll come back to this at the end.
I'll of course look in the chat as well and see if I can, you know, pick up on other people's thoughts as well, of course. Then at the end, claim it as my own and be like, ah.
I think people in the comments seem to be having similar thoughts to you, and they're good thoughts. Oh, they are good thoughts, yeah.
Sword for sure, someone's put. Jonah Isaac. Mm. Yeah, we're on the same. Sword scabbard. okay, Ryan Thurston.
Well, just Alex Singh in the chat says,
Oh,
my goodness, I'm away 1 week, and this is the riddle.
Yes,
it is, Alex.
You're missing out. You're missing out. Join in, Alex.
If you're missing out on. Yeah.
If you're able to, join in from afar.
Yeah. Wherever you, well, out on the streets, but also on YouTube watching the live stream. Madman.
I know. He's watching on his phone. He's running away from Angry Scots. And, hopefully you're doing all right, Alex. Hopefully it's not. It's not too much of a task. I know you've.
Yeah, how many votes
stage
have you got
one
so far?
Stage one is done. You've brought down Sturgeon. That's stage one.
The campaign worked.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
And this is step two. So yeah.
Step two.
Indeed.
You know what I forgot to mention? We will, as always, be bringing things that we learned this week.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course we will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course we will. But before I ask you, Martin, what you learned this week, I just want to say a quick thank you to all of our YouTube members and Patreon supporters, because they're wonderful people. And in particular, I would like to thank Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, Nemo, John Baker, Janie, Jarax Nida, Henny Ruffle, The Super Show Podcast, Nicholas Dill, Emmett Tapia, Hey Hey Swamboat, Ahmad, Peaswad, A Filthy Casual, Simon Workman, and Sir Christopher McCrate.
And let's
not forget Captain Wonky.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for everyone who supports us as well. We do our little more interesting on our Patreon, as well as some bits and pieces and previews and behind the scene. Like when we went up to York to film, we did some little bit of behind the scenes bits and pieces. For that as well. So yeah, if you want to get involved in that, then head on over and see what it's all about. But if you don't, that's fine too. We're going to be here every week with you on a Monday live, usually, apart from today, which is a Wednesday, at 9 PM GMT. Otherwise, catch us on all podcasting platforms. Ain't that right?
That is right. I think so, yeah. Or a podcast platform of your choice. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. We don't want to back ourselves into a corner here.
Any YouTube members as well, if you're in the chat right now, since Alex isn't here, feel free to spam the chat with the new emoji of Alex wearing a tricorner.
Yes.
Throw it in there. It'll be like he's with us. So, Martin, what did you learn this week?
One of us. Well, I learned... Well, just to ask you a question, can you think of things that aren't allowed on an aircraft? So like
scissors,
sharp objects, too much liquid, platform shoes, I mean, bombs, you know, weapons. What else isn't allowed? You're not allowed...
Are you allowed animals?
Animals?
Yeah,
no, not with you. And another one that you're not allowed is cigarettes or smoking, right? You're not allowed to smoke on flights. And this has been banned for a number of years. I mean, there's, of course, the issues of a fire risk, which isn't great when you're on an aircraft. And also, I guess there's the whole smoking ban, secondhand smoke coming through the vents, etc., which isn't great for your lungs or the passengers around you. Mm. And so, over years, starting from really the 1980s, different airlines and different countries have sought to ban smoking on flights. What I found funny when having a look at this was that in 1971, United Airlines created a non-smoking section. I'm not quite sure that works on a plane, but anyway.
They hadn't heard of passive smoking, I guess, at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fine. Like, what do these air vents do? Is that circulating the air? No, you're fine. And then other countries have followed suit primarily in the 1980s, and you know, smoking has been banned for quite a while now. You wouldn't even consider smoking, although maybe some people might vape and get told off for it. But anyway, smoking has been banned. But did you know that all airplanes, by law, have to have ashtrays in their bathrooms?
Really?
Yep.
By law?
So you would be chucked off the plane in no time if you were to smoke, right?
Yeah.
But for health and safety, in the case someone does smoke, they need to have no non-smoking signs, of course, but also ashtrays in the bathrooms. Yeah. And I've heard this before, and I was like, oh, that sounds like an urban myth, right? Yeah. In December, I went on a plane, and went into the bathroom. I was like, is this real? Yes. There was an ashtray in the bathroom on the back of the door. There was an ashtray. So this is in fact real. So all planes have to have ashtrays so that if people do break the law, it's at least not as dangerous as if they didn't have ashtrays.
That's interesting. Do you think that encourages smoking in the bathrooms on planes?
Well, I guess so, but it's kind of pretty obvious, isn't it, if someone's smoking in the bathroom?
Yeah.
So I guess, it kind of is like, don't. It's not one of those where it's like, oh yeah, a bit of a slap on the wrist, is it? You're smoking on a plane, for goodness sake. Like, if you're like drinking on the underground, for instance, you can get fined, but if someone saw you, they'd probably be like, oh, just put it away, mate. Whereas smoking's kind of a bit different, isn't it? On a plane, on an aircraft.
Yes, it's deeply problematic. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But true or false, do airlines by law have to have ashtrays in their bathrooms or somewhere on the flight? And the answer is true.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, that's coming up in the next quiz then.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be a test to see if Alex really is listening to the podcast. You'll get the question, but Alex won't.
Yeah, better not be speaking to the Scots right now, because you'll miss out on it. What did you learn this week, Robin? Was it more? Was it hopefully more exciting than smoking on planes?
I don't know if it was more. It wasn't more exciting. I think that's the kind of practical, useful knowledge about something that you might experience in your lifetime.
And others can take a look now. You'll be thinking, next time I'm on a plane.
When I get on a plane, I do have a holiday plan this year that will involve a plane, and I'm going to be going to the toilets and checking out the ashtrays, whether there's someone in there already or not. I'm just going to be going in there.
Busting in. Excuse me, is there an ashtray here?
Is there an ashtray here?
Got to see the ashtray. I'm trying to get the way. My child's being sick. No, I need to see the ashtray. Ooh, my side.
Driving with Matt in the chat says the non-smoking area on the plane is outside on the wing.
That's an East Wing.
Just think about that Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner. There's something on the wing. The non-smoking area.
Oh. I haven't seen that, but that sounds funny afterward.
Someone commented, WXC Jonathan P says, if it's a private jet, they're allowed to smoke inside the aircraft, even during the flight. That would make sense. Yeah, it's a private jet. You can do whatever substance you like in a private jet.
Exactly. I'm sure there's worse things going on than smoking. Tobacco.
I like that. I mean, that was funny, I meant to say. Whoops. Implied that I do drugs, which is not true. Unless it's painkillers. And I don't mean abuse, I mean just taking painkillers.
Just please.
Let's just move on to what I learned this week. I learned a historical thing. This was in the news actually last November, but kind of rediscovered it the other day, about some codebreaker, professional cryptographer, Cécile Pierrot.
Sounds a little bit French.
Yeah, a little bit. Dug up a letter sent by the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V to his ambassador at the French court in 1547, so many years ago, and it was written in code.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
70 lines, a 3-page letter, written using 120 encrypted symbols, and this cryptographer has translated it. Although I haven't got the full translation because I don't think they've actually published the full translation yet. But what's interesting is that they said, although the code is relatively simple by modern standards in terms of like intelligence services won't be using this kind of code, this professional cryptographer said that they were expecting it to be like child's code, but actually it was quite sophisticated and included fake symbols. So dummy symbols that meant nothing to kind of throw off whoever is trying to translate it, and did something clever because it was written in French, and just like in English, E is the most common letter.
That stumps most English people. It's just written in French.
Just threw me off. What are you writing in English?
What's this code? It's French.
But... just like in English, the most common letter in the language is E. And so one of the first things you do when you're trying to crack a code is you try to find repetitions of symbols that chances are is going to be E. You know, the most common symbol will probably be E. But when he translated this, found out that they had deliberately avoided using the letter E.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Precisely to avoid people cracking the code this way. And apparently the letter talks about, so it's written in 1547. So it's written shortly after the death of Henry VIII. So it's talking about that and talking about the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V's son, I think, or nephew, I can't remember now, was in Prague, ruling over what is now the Czech Republic, what was then Bohemia. And there'd been a rebellion, and he'd had to flee Prague and go back to Spain. And the Holy Roman Emperor is telling the French ambassador to say to the French court that there hasn't been a rebellion, it's not a problem. He's just fled. He just left Prague to go hunting with his dad. Yeah. No biggie.
No, it's fine. Everything's fine here.
Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about. What are you talking about? Losing power? No. Don't know what you're talking about.
No.
It's fine.
What power? I mean, no. Wow.
But he also talks about a rumored assassination attempt.
Oh, right.
On his life.
You want to keep that under wraps.
Yeah. So he's asking the ambassador, saying, what have you heard about this assassination plot against me? Yeah. Let me know everything. So it's kind of a fairly juicy letter. And I think it's cool that it's always cool, in my opinion, when old documents, particularly personal correspondence, get uncovered and revealed for the first time. But especially when it's written in code and it's never been translated before, except presumably by the person who received it.
Yeah, that's exciting. So they haven't released the full thing yet?
No, I don't think it'll be published in some journals, I imagine.
Is the rest of it really boring then? Have they just given us the juicy soundbites?
The rest is a recipe for scrambled eggs,
Yeah.
Take two eggs, scramble.
Yes. but that could be secret. That could be a secret code. That could be like a euphemism for something.
Oh, it could be.
Actually gay lovers.
Oh, my gosh.
Scandal. Oh. Yeah, scandal.
Wait till you read the passage about sausages. Oh, it's juicy. It's meaty.
Yeah. Good.
Right.
Good.
So, please, in the comments, by the way, in the live chat, let us know whose fact you liked the most. You've got a choice of two this week. So, normally there'd be three, but it's just two. So, I won't put a poll in because can't be bothered when there's just two of us. But let us know what you think of those facts. And in the meantime, speaking of comments, Martin, is there a comment or at all two that you'd like to respond to from the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, so I think that, there was the video that I just wanted to mention, the video that you produced it went live, when did it go live? On Monday, a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah, on Monday,
absolutely fantastic. If you haven't seen it, the USA secret plan to conquer the moon, which
Thank
was
you.
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Thank and I you. Wanted to bring up Hey Now Paulie's comment that said, I think the reason we haven't been to the moon is because Tim Curry got there first and said, keep out, this is my space.
My space.
Yeah. My space, yeah. Yes, so that was a good one. And I just wanted to basically, first and foremost, Robin, to say how much I personally enjoyed that video. I didn't see it until we looked at it before it went out. So thank you so much for making that really, really interesting and a great video. Anyone who hasn't seen it, let's chuck the link in the chat as well, I think.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Thank you.
It's a good
one. Shall I do it?
I'm doing it now. I'm doing
it. Oh, cheers. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's always difficult to know whether a video you've made is any good. I'm glad that you and Alex are there to give me a sanity check and make sure that it's all right.
No, absolutely.
So thanks.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Anyone who's interested in NASA history or the history of space exploration or just the nefarious dark side of it. That's what this is about, really.
Yeah, I mean, and if everyone hasn't noticed already, Robin is the biggest NASA fan that I know. You've got that NASA t-shirt that you wore in there, but that's actually one of a cycle of seven NASA t-shirts that you wear, sometimes more than one a day, in fact. Hence, you're not able to wear one today.
That's true. I've got
the others in the wash.
One for each day, Monday to Sunday, but sometimes I wear more than one on a single day. It's true.
Exactly. Just sweat through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Straight through it with all that. Just thinking about NASA gets me all sweaty. Yeah.
Wonderful. And then, Alex has commented again and put, as an impartial audience member, I think Robin's recent video is amazing and everyone should watch it.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you.
There we go. And Chester Johnson watched it in the shower. So.
Oh,
there we go, Chester. Hopefully, your electronic device wasn't in the shower with you, or if so, was waterproof.
Mm. Oh, you know what I discovered the other day, which I didn't know was a thing, and I'm sure I'm going to sound like a real old man now.
Oh yeah,
I was just in the shop browsing the shelves, and I came across
That's quite old. We don't have the internet nowadays, Robin.
Oh yeah, sorry.
What are shelves?
What are shelves? It was a Bluetooth speaker for the shower.
Oh yeah, I've got one of those.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shower speaker. I don't really use it though. I don't spend enough time in the shower to listen to one song, let alone
that's true.
The radio or whatever.
Well, sometimes I'm in the middle of something. I'm listening to something as I go into the bathroom and I have to turn it off and then have my shower and then get out and then I start again. But then I got wet hands and I have to dry them all off before I handle my touchscreen and gets all wet again. So I like the idea of this thing. It was an odd shape though. It was a bit like
it's modern technology.
Yeah, I know. It was round. It was kind of spherical and in a kind of teardrop shaped plastic sack that, and the sucker was at the top and it was pink colored, kind of fleshy tone. It looked like it sounds. And I was like, I kind of want to buy this.
What the
hell
is this?
I don't know why it looks so much like, this was only one. It wasn't a double thing. I'm sure it was a Bluetooth speaker. I think so. It came packed with beads. I don't know what the beads are for in the shower, but something, I guess.
Disgraceful.
Oh, Camera Shy Coco in the comments says, my bathroom vent has a Bluetooth speaker. What? Your vent has
What do you mean? How does that work?
What?
The vent has a Bluetooth.
Wow. Hmm. Okay.
That sounds pretty high tech.
My gosh.
It does sound quite futuristic.
Yes.
Lovely.
I'm so behind. I didn't know these things existed.
You never heard of a Bluetooth shower speaker, Robin?
I've never heard of Bluetooth. What is this?
What is this Bluetooth?
Right. Well, on that bombshell of Robin's technological ignorance, shall we move on to the main topic
of the week? We should have a jingle for this, like another jingle.
Welcome back to the main topic, which is animals that defied evolution. And I think the approach I certainly took in interpreting this title, Martin, was animals that are so stupid, they shouldn't really exist.
Yeah, they shouldn't exist. It's animals that shouldn't exist. Because we go through this for people at home, this is how the sausage is made. We went through lots of different topics and Alex has gone, this would be great. I'm definitely going to be here for this one. What's happened and he's not here. Good Godspeed to you in Scotland, but he's not here for this one. And we all went, good topic. Yeah, defied evolution. That sounds amazing. And then I looked at it a little bit earlier. And I thought, what the hell does that mean? What the hell does animals that defied evolution, what does that mean? Robin's helped out here for sure in putting us back on track with what we're actually supposed to be talking about. And you're like, animals that are idiots, that shouldn't exist because they're so stupid. And in some cases do exist because we've made them exist against all odds.
I think that's the thing. With my choice, it's definitely, there is a concerted big conservation effort in place. And you do think that this animal has passed its sell-by date. Mm. And I think maybe we should let evolution and natural selection take its course. As much as I sympathize with the plight of species going extinct, and I want to save certain animals, just like, well, I think the animal I've got, definitely, it's the koala.
Yes.
And I love koalas. I think if I were to have a pet, it would be a koala.
Yeah, exactly.
That or a sloth, you know, something low effort. You know.
A good buddy.
Like a little good buddy. Just cling to my arm and hug me, thinking I'm a eucalyptus tree. Okay. And that's kind of at the heart of it for me with koalas. As everyone knows, they are marsupials from Australia, in Australia. And they're mammalian, and they're little bears, and they're very cute, and they eat eucalyptus leaves, and that is pretty much all that they eat. And they're one of three things that eat eucalyptus leaves, because eucalyptus leaves are poisonous. They're full of toxins, and they've become, scientists are pretty sure that eucalyptus leaves are poisonous to stop creatures eating them. So the koala, of course, evolves to eat just eucalyptus leaves.
I mean, that's one thing that the koala does have going for it. It's like, screw the system. Two fingers up. It's like, you think I can't eat these? This is all I'm going to eat.
That is true.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is a product of evolution, the koala, because it's evolved to do this very specific thing. And part of the way it's evolved to do that is it's developed, the cecum is a part of our intestinal system in mammals that contains bacteria, which help, you know, break down and keep the balance of our guts intact. But their cecum in koala bears is unusual in that it's significantly larger than any other mammal's cecum gland. And it's full of crazy types of bacteria, all kinds, like no other mammals have them, and it's got loads of them. And the whole reason it has them is so that these bacteria will help them digest the incredibly toxic eucalyptus leaves.
Why bother? Why not just eat something else?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't go through all the effort?
Yeah.
There's so much effort. Don't bother these different bacteria that allow you to break it down. Just don't eat it.
Well, you say don't go through the effort, but eucalyptus leaves contain so few calories that koala bears spend 22 hours of the day resting or sleeping.
Also really stupid.
Yeah.
Also, because fine, like, sleeping, it's nice. It's nice, you know, it gives you a bit of a rest. But at the same time, like, 22 hours eating just to stay alive, eating something that's poisonous that your body doesn't even need and that it has to produce millions of funky bacteria. Tons of bacteria to
you expose down. Yourself to predators by falling asleep, and koala bears are known for sometimes falling out of trees.
Stupid. What a life. Yeah.
But they also have, despite having all these like weird and wonderful and dangerous bacteria in their gut, they also suffer from weak immune systems because. Pretty much all koalas suffer from a retrovirus, which is similar to HIV, that weakens their immune systems and makes them more susceptible to diseases like chlamydia or cancer, which is one of the reasons koalas aren't a popular pet, because they can spread some really nasty diseases to humans.
That doesn't sound great. Yeah.
And some of these retroviruses are in their genetic code. Right. So researchers have found that dozens of retroviruses are in koalas' genes that weaken their immune systems to all kinds of diseases that will kill them.
So it's all a bad deal all around.
Yeah, so far it's a bad deal, and it gets worse. Because they only eat eucalyptus trees. They're one of the few animals to do. There are 600 varieties of eucalyptus tree, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But koalas don't eat all of them. They only eat leaves from about 40. So not only do they not eat a very nutritious thing, which has so few calories, they have to sleep about 22 hours of the day. Mm-hmm. But they're very picky about which leaves they eat, which admittedly is impressive because they can tell which leaves are good and which leaves are bad just by smelling them.
Yeah, yeah.
But also means that they have to work quite hard to find the ones they can eat. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. And no, they should not be alive, should they?
They shouldn't be. And it gets worse because in order to the cecum, this organ they've developed, which scientists are pretty sure is accidental, at some point in the past there was some freak koala born with double the amount of genes to make this gland. That's the one that passed on its genes. Eucalyptus leaves do have lots of fiber, but because of the cecum with all the bacteria to process the toxins, they can only absorb 25% of the fiber that they eat. So they have to eat more, which takes more energy, and they get less energy from the leaves. And that it's just this pointless cycle of not having enough energy to do anything, basically.
It sounds tough. It does sound tough.
It is tough, and it gets worse because the gum leaves they eat are quite tough, and they wear down their teeth, which happens to all animals. Humans, all herbivores, their teeth grind down through use. It's what happens. But koalas have a higher rate than average across the animal kingdom of their teeth wearing down because they eat eucalyptus leaves, which are particularly tough. So what happens is, and I didn't know this, koalas actually don't die of old age. They more often die of starvation because they wear down their teeth to the point where they can't eat anymore.
Oh, man, they've got this all wrong, haven't they? They need to make some changes in their lives.
They do.
Like, I think, to me, it just seems like a few simple changes would reverse their fortunes indefinitely.
Yeah, like eating more, variety of things.
Eat more. Don't eat eucalyptus.
Yeah.
Eat a different type of leaves. Yeah, I mean, there are infinite reasons why now at this stage of evolution they're like, oh, we've definitely backed ourselves into a corner here where we can only eat these 40 types of eucalyptus. And, you know, unfortunately our teeth then break down, but, you know, our bodies have adapted to choosing these super hard leaves. Yeah, oh, a bad deal.
It's like taking a loser, you know, redneck 60-year-old man who's got made redundant. And the wife is like, you need to learn a new skill.
Yes.
And he's like, but this is the only thing I'm good at.
The only thing I've ever done and ever known. Change is difficult.
Change
is difficult. But if it means, you know, starving because you've only eaten a handful of leaves, things have got to be done. Things have got to be done to change your fortunes. Yeah.
Evolution needs to take a step. But, and to be fair, they are endangered. There are less than 100,000 of them in the wild.
Yeah, no shit. But carrying the way they are,
and but there are conservation efforts, and I admit I would like a koala as a pet. So you know,
yeah, you'd love a bit of chlamydia, don't you?
Maybe we can save them.
stupid animals. And to be fair, there are some similarities between the koala and the animal that I'm bringing to the table today, which of course is the panda.
Panda,
also an animal that a lot of people think they would like as a pet. You know, you see those videos. Yeah. I think we've all seen it. The video trying to the zookeeper trying to keep the pandas in their enclosure or whatever, and they keep on just climbing up his leg and pulling him over.
Oh yeah, there's loads of cute panda videos on there.
Oh yeah, they are incredibly cute and similarly cute as well. They don't sleep quite as much as the koala at between 8 and 12 hours a day. So, you know, standard kind of teenager sleeping. 12 hours, I guess. 8 hours is kind of fairly normal. And they eat a lot of bamboo, which is very, very well known. But again, they haven't evolved in the most, what's the word? The logical way, I think, is the word to use. And in particular, they have issues with their digestive system as well, and have a genome sequence that has actually kind of gone a little bit wrong. And as a result of this issue with their genome, so they have this taste receptor gene called TAS1R1. Basically what this does is it means that they lose their umami perception. So umami is like that savory taste. A lot of people think it's kind of like on your tongue, like sweet, salty, bitter, sour, umami, right? It's like a savory taste. And as a result of this, they naturally would be basically carnivorous or carnivora. But because of this, the panda is now herbivorous. They're a herbivore and just eat bamboo. But their digestive system hasn't evolved in the same way to be able to digest bamboo properly. So, of course, this causes massive issues with their digestive system.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So there's this incompatibility between naturally they would be carnivores, but because they have this stupid issue with their genome, their diet now consists completely of bamboo, which they can't digest. So as a result of this, they then lack the right nutrients, specifically protein, as you'd imagine, and also certain fats as well.
So they've actually lost, evolution means they've lost an ability, which is to taste food that will help them survive.
That's it.
Wow.
So they can't taste it properly, so they don't eat it. They're like, no. Whoa, hold on. We've always been herbivores. And it's like, hold on a second. No, you should naturally be carnivorous, but because of this, you're now on a diet of sticks.
You're a bear. You should eat meat.
Yeah, exactly. So something's gone very, very wrong with pandas, and a lot of people think that pandas, as a result of this, they're cute and everything. But we pump thousands, millions of dollars into saving the panda. You know, the World Wildlife Federation has a panda as its logo, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Saving the panda. And not everyone thinks that the panda should be saved. They think it's a bit of a waste of money. And pandas are nice and they're great. But the fact is, so much money's been spent on pandas in breeding in captivity, but they're very, very unsuccessful at breeding. Sometimes it can take a pair of pandas, even if they're in captivity, it takes them, up to 10 years to breed, and they really, really struggle. So all this money that could be used to save lots of other animals that aren't anywhere near as kind of, famous is in a way, right? You know, the smaller animals are actually as important to our ecosystem, if not more important, because, they actually help the biodiversity, whereas pandas are kind of, their function is less prominent within the food pyramid. Money, the resources that could be used to save some of those animals are being diverted towards the panda, which, let's face it, doesn't really have much of a desire, it seems, to help itself. So I think it's time definitely to question how much money is going towards these kind of high profile creatures, and instead potentially should be put towards less famous animals that help our ecosystems. But it's definitely, that is controversial, right? Because pandas are so cute and cuddly and lovely.
People love pandas.
They're iconic with wildlife conservation, etc. So
I wonder actually if the fact that the WWF has the panda as its logo, I wonder how much that's just encouraged people to try to save the panda. And if they changed it to something else, would that animal then get a lot more attention?
Yeah, I mean, well, imagine if they changed it to like a random fish or like a...
hideous. Yeah.
Or some kind of tadpole. Yeah. I'm not sure it'd have the same effect, but yeah, they're pretty stupid. As I mentioned, like, they're not great at reproducing either. So it's, you're having to spend a lot of money, a lot of care in the hope the pandas will reproduce. And then when pandas have been let back into the wild as well, they just died. So it's not even like the conservation efforts have like helped repopulate the wild population. Just like, oh great, let's put them all back again, and then they can't cope in the wild. So
they're just too used to being looked after.
Yeah, exactly.
Too used to
being mollycoddled. And there's lots of other bits that are really stupid as well with pandas. Like, their mating season for females is between like March and May, so a really, really short window. So short that often they don't even realize that it's actually the mating season. And sometimes the males can't even mate within that time frame as well. So they don't even know what's going on. And they're just like, oh, well, when were we supposed to have been mating? And then the season's over, and that is what it is, because the males have their own kind of reproductive cycle that doesn't always sync up with the females. So there's a lot of things going against the panda in terms of their natural instinct, and also how they've evolved in terms of with their food as well. Another stupid thing about pandas.
Hello, Martin, by the way.
Oh, what the
Whoa,
hell?
Whoa, we have a surprise guest.
What are you doing here? Have you given up on the campaign already?
No, look, don't joke about it. I was on the phone to Nicola all of last night. She was in floods of tears. It was like, Alex, what do I do here? Do I leave? Do I fight for independence? And I just said, look, Nicola, you got to do what's best for you.
He said, us Scottish will stick together.
Yeah. And, little did she know that, yes, I will be running for First Minister.
Yeah.
And I intend to win.
Good. Well done.
But yeah, congratulations. Sorry for being so incredibly late to this, late to the party. I've been enjoying it so far, though.
I'm just telling Robin and now yourself about how stupid, and the people at home, of course, how stupid pandas are. Do you want to hear some more stupid things about pandas? I'm really dissing pandas. I quite like pandas, but
this is. I mean, there's going to be. There already is some people that love pandas in the chat.
Oh, really?
They are not happy with this.
I do. And I like koalas pandas
as well. I mean, I'm fully on your side. I'm loving this color on both of you.
They are cute, and that's why I think that's probably why we've kept them alive for so. We've helped keep them alive for so long.
Oh, Robin, have I really messed this up for you? Bit me existing here. I have, haven't
I?
Yeah,
a little bit.
There's
only two of us on screen on YouTube, but there's now three of us in the chat, so it's going to be wrong. But it's not your fault, Alex. It's because I am illiterate with how to solve this problem in a speedy manner. So please talk amongst yourselves whilst I try to fix this.
No trouble.
I'm just kind of like on half two screens at the moment. I'm like stuck in the middle.
Well, the alternative is that none of us are on screen because I've done something. So right now, this is the best the viewers have got.
Why don't I just turn off my screen?
Oh yeah,
and then
this is weird. Anyone who's listening, and then you can go back. What the hell is going on?
It will just be. Oh, there you go. I've turned off my screen so you can hear me, but you can't see me. How about that? I don't deserve to be seen after being this late.
No, you do. Of course, you do.
Okay, but I have turned off my thing, so hopefully.
To any listeners at home, there's added windows as well now. This is all very strange. Anyway,
it's all gone pizza.
It's all gone wrong. Anyway, I'll continue with the panda chat.
Yeah, yeah, please.
In the comments, and yeah, I'd say Cat Jab. It probably is good username. Cat Jab. I'm kind of. Yeah. Anyway, pandas. Yeah, back to stupid pandas. So pandas often have twins. In fact, half of births are with twin cubs. But if they have more than one cub what do you reckon it's called? A litter? Is it called a litter? Probably not, if there's only one or two. If they have more than one, they'll reject one of them. So they only have one that they actually look after. And the reason for this is because often they don't have like enough resources, enough milk in particular, or energy to care for more than one baby. So they like reject them, and often they die anyway. So it's not even like with a lot of animals where they can have multiple offspring and they'll survive. You know, pandas typically can only have one baby, one cub at a time. So they're not doing too well, these pandas. And ultimately, I mean, the question is, maybe you could put a poll in the chat. Should we care for the pandas? Should we be diverting resources towards pandas, or should we put it towards other species within the ecosystem? And I mean, I've definitely been fighting towards the anti-panda brigade here, or supporting that. But I do like pandas, and I want to keep pandas alive. I think we should probably have enough money for both, right? You just give more money.
I mean, I think that's where I come down on the argument. It's like, I love that we have kind of, in defiance of God and, you know, the natural order of things, we have forced pandas to exist and be alive. I love that about us. That's, we, you know, and I think we can do that and save all the other animals as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's weird that pandas are a sort of priority when, yeah, there's like millions of other animals going extinct all the time, but we can do both, damn it. We can do both.
Yeah. I'm afraid that the options I put in the chat are very binary and not at all directed. I put, should we kill pandas? Yes or no? So there we go.
Well, Alex, if you can turn your video on now, because I've finally given us the three window thing. Sorry, everyone watching us on YouTube. That was painfully slow for you, I know. Tell you what, there's this thing. Here's a peek behind the scenes. Again, another revelation of how the sausage is made. When we use our video call software, hey, there he is, we use OBS to stream, and it's all set up so that it automatically puts us in our little windows on screen.
I could have fixed this instantly.
But occasionally, for me at least, when I use OBS, and this doesn't happen every episode, but it happens when we're live, when Alex joins halfway through. It just decides that automatic setup doesn't work anymore. and just decides to delete things and reframe things and move things around at whim. So I have to go back and recreate it after we've done a live stream when it does that. So I'll be doing that tonight or tomorrow, I imagine, ahead of the next time I host.
And I'm really sorry that I've
No, thank you for joining us. I genuinely didn't think you would. I thought you were... I know, Martin, you mentioned that you're on the campaign trail, but yeah, I thought you wouldn't be able to join us tonight. So that's really great that you joined in.
Showing what's important, which is good.
If you guys hadn't delayed it a little bit, then I probably wouldn't have been able to. So I think it worked out nicely.
Oh, cool.
I did actually have, I did bring a fact that I've learned this week, if you're still interested, or have we moved way beyond that? Maybe it's fine. I could do it.
It's fine. You've already caused chaos, so you might as well continue.
Well, I also wanted to talk about an animal as well. So maybe let's stay on that topic for now.
Please. I'd like to know about that.
Because
right now, the panda. Martin made a compelling case for the panda being the most useless animal.
Well, it's interesting. You guys interpreted the question in this way, which is a perfectly valid way to interpret the question. Animals that defied evolution. But another way to interpret it is like animals that evolved a little bit and then they were like, yeah, that's enough, and then just didn't evolve like millions of years. And we're like, yeah, do you know what? All these animals are changing around me, but I like where I am, damn it, and I don't like change. I'm dug in and I'll never change.
I like the different ways of interpreting it. This should be good.
And the animal that I wanted to talk about is also another one from Australia. I think. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But it's the duck-billed platypus.
Ooh.
Oh, the duck-billed platypus.
Nice. Yeah.
Which puzzled scientists for ages, I think, because it wasn't really known, like, it doesn't really fit into a category as, like, a mammal, because it lays eggs, but it is a mammal, but it's got a duck bill.
Oh,
and it's,
of course,
like...
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense as an animal. It's like middle of a... Is it a fish? Is it a mammal? Is it a bird? What is this thing?
No, it's Superman.
Yeah. But this is actually... It's what's called a monotreme, apparently, which are mammals that lay eggs, which I don't know how many examples there are, but yeah. But the platypus basically decided one day to stop evolving. They apparently share a common ancestor with a marsupial mammal over 175 million years ago. But yeah, rare fossils from Australia indicate there have been platypus-like forms for about 110 million years at least. So they just haven't, really evolved much. They had a bit of a narrower snout, but they've just stuck around like that.
Yes.
And I find those kind of animals really interesting. Do you know those? I can't just say. Do you know those birds? Yeah, those birds that you see.
Those birds, mate. What colour are they?
There's one that just looks like a dinosaur, and it looks really prehistoric.
Oh yeah. I think I've got it down. What you mean? Don't know the name of it.
Those, and you see them sometimes on like animal documentaries, but animals that look like they're from 100 million years ago that I've just never...
Well, sometimes they pretty much are, aren't they? They just evolved in different ways and over a lot slower, or, you know, they're just like, well, I'm done. As you say, I'm done with this, you know.
I caught a silverfish in my flat the other day, and they freaked me out. It's the way they slither along. And I was looking them up, and apparently they haven't evolved for... You know, they found fossilized silverfish insects, and they're basically the same in millions of years. And
why
those are the ones
silverfish?
Where I'm always... Why are they called silverfish?
Yeah, I guess
because they look like silverfish. They're kind of like
swimming.
They're kind of like fish shaped, and they kind of slide. Before. They look a bit like fish scales, and they're kind of fish shaped. Yeah,
yeah.
I can see why they freak me out. Anyway, those are the ones I always look at them, and there's a pang of jealousy there. I'm like, you're going to still be here in 10 million years, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The comments have me covered. Yes. Doom and CS Drummerson say definitely talking about the shoe bill. The bird that I was referring to that looks like a prehistoric dinosaur. And
that's
yes, it is.
Sheville.
Look at
that.
Absolutely
it.
Mental. It looks like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my contribution. See you later, guys.
He's gone. He's out.
Back to campaigning for independence, yeah.
Interesting. 45% of people think we should kill pandas. So,
really?
There we go. 45 to 55. So there's plenty of time to still vote, but that really is quite an indication of what our audience is like, really.
How many of our audience are casual hunters? Exactly. Let us know in the comments.
Did we have any more animals that you wanted to discuss? I mean, obviously with that, I think the thing is, it's more fun approaching the question with your point of view in mind, like the way that you interpreted it. Oh, actually, do you know what? One thing I do want to say.
Is that
when I tried Googling this question earlier, animals that defied evolution, we came up with an anti-evolution documentary series going by the same name.
Wow.
So I do just want to maybe say that this isn't an anti-evolution thing. We're not literally denying that evolution happened.
Yeah.
But just animals that are just too stupid to exist, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just forgot to evolve.
Yeah, for me, koala bears defied evolution in the double sense, in that on the one hand, they disobeyed the whole point of natural selection, and on the other hand, they have survived past the point where logic says they should have died out, right? You know, they're if Darwinian evolution and natural selection work logically, then certain creatures should just die out, and yet they've made it this far. And you're like, you have defied your evolutionary disadvantages. You have made it this far. Yeah, that's the positive spin on also the whole, you're so stupid, why are you still here?
I have another one that I'd like to bring up.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Animals that defied evolution.
Mm.
What do you think about humans? And I say that as in, like, not all humans, not the human race, but some humans have defied evolution. As in, a larger question of, do you think that we're kind of heading towards idiocracy? Is, I guess, what we're...
Oh, I see.
The question, really. Right. Are we currently defying evolution now? Because we've lost all of it. I can hunt down an antelope. I can do that now. I get my food from the supermarket. I couldn't go out and hunt to survive.
Yeah.
What do they say? It's like...
Are we putting ourselves out on a limb where if the structures and the fabric of our society as we know it breaks down, we can't fall back on the evolutionary traits that made us successful for thousands of years?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess we do still have those, aren't we? We are actually we're actually quite a terrifying creature in the animal kingdom, aren't we? Because we like hunt things to exhaustion. Like, we're not the fastest, but we're really good at like respiring, aren't we? We're really good at like chasing animals down until they die of exhaustion, which is just terrifying. Imagine that. There's like millions of this creature that just runs at you until you can't run anymore.
Yeah.
We have the biggest endurance. Not a nice thought, no.
No, no. Yeah.
Mm.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to know if there are any other animals that people in the comments in the chat, if you're listening at home, you know, do let us know what animals you think have defied evolution as well, or are just naturally really, really stupid and probably shouldn't exist, or animals that you think, actually, we're pumping too much resource in keeping that animal alive. Not that there's any reason not to, but actually, we should divert some of that resource towards other animals. Mm. Let us know your thoughts. I'm interested. Pandas is one because, you know, they're so famous, aren't they? They're famously conserved. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it shouldn't be done at the expense of other animals. And I'm becoming very passionate about this, even though I like pandas very much. I've got nothing against pandas. But perhaps we should rethink our conservation efforts.
I think the clincher is when you revealed that, you know, for all our conservation efforts in putting them in captivity and helping them to breed, they take 20 years to breed, you know, all those problems, famous problems of flying in pandas mates from China to America and then keeping them there for 10 years and they mate once. And then when you put them in the wild, and that was it, when you said they go into the wild and they just die without humans looking after them. It's like, yeah, they just don't have an instinct for it. You know? Not that I'm saying I would live in the wild. You know, if someone cast me out into the wilderness, like you were just saying, Alex, there's no way I would be able to survive. But that's just me, you know, as opposed to an entire species of me's just being useless.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be some Ron Swansons out there, aren't there, that just they're prepared and they know exactly what to do as soon as...
Yes.
Yeah, as soon as the supermarket stops delivering, they're right there they're all hunting good. Animals.
Yeah. That said, I would love a panda as well. I'd love to have a panda. Yeah,
red quite pandas fun. Are the best. Yeah. I'd have a red panda.
They're great. That'd be quite fun.
Mm. Cool. So now that you're here, Alex, hello. Does that mean we should do a quiz?
Do you have a quiz?
I don't. Do you?
Oh, I don't have a quiz.
No,
oh,
well, that was great.
Well, that was... Whoops. Let's delete this conversation from the podcast. I wasn't expecting...
I don't know.
I was expecting three of us.
I'm very
quiz.
Sorry. I
oh, my gosh.
I wasn't prepared.
Teased a quiz to the audience.
Oh, that was so cruel. Okay. So cruel.
Why would you say that?
Well, I thought you might have a quiz on you.
But, I've been busy. Been busy campaigning for Scotland today.
Yeah, I've been busy campaigning for... Okay. You know, what could have been more effective is if I privately communicated to you using modern technology and said... you know,
I blame you, Alex. You waltz in here. You mentioned duck-beak platypuses, and then you waltz out again without even bringing a quiz. Jesus.
I'm sorry. I feel like I've let the side down this week, but... yeah. I do have something that I've learned this week that I can share.
Okay. Oh, yeah, please do.
Well, but I don't think it's as interesting as either of yours, though, but I'll say it anyway. So I learned about a term and a kind of idea called skeuomorph. And it's the idea that something new takes on the appearance of what it replaces is the idea of this. So we see this all the time, every day. So like, think of the save icon in like Microsoft Word or whatever. Mm. It's a floppy disk. And floppy disks haven't been used for like, they went obsolete 20 years ago. The save icon has been used more than the floppy disk ever was.
Interesting thought.
And this kind of...
That's true,
We see this, like, this is so prevalent everywhere. Another example is the phone icon on like your mobile app is always a very old fashioned phone.
The phone, isn't it? Yeah. Proper phone.
Like a proper phone that you'd hold to your ear.
You're not going to tell me that a phone icon's been there for longer than a phone.
Yeah. And what's in like other examples are like email is like a letter. You even get this in cars as well these days, where like with electric cars you don't need an air vent like a grill, because that's like feeding air into the engine. You don't need that, but they put that on anyway because that's what people expect on a car. It looks weird without it.
I was just about to say that's kind of true of technology, and every time something crazy new comes along, but like, you know, the BlackBerry, which had its moment. I mean, that failed for other reasons, but that was all like, you can have a computer keyboard on your phone. And it never really caught on, I think, because everyone's like, that's not what a phone looks like.
Yeah.
It looks too much like a computer. I'd rather have a big computer.
Yes. Know. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that I feel like as we moved into this kind of, you know, modern smartphones and technology and stuff, this played an important role, skeuomorphism, to kind of like ease the transition. A bunch of icons on your home screen, you need something familiar to click on. But if you've noticed over the last few years, like just look at Google's recent update where they've changed the, like, icons are becoming more abstract and more, less obvious, I guess. Hmm. If you look at Instagram's logo from the last 10 years, it starts as just literally a picture of like one of those really old cameras. Those old-fashioned vintage cameras.
Yeah.
And if you look at it now, it's like some purple thing with a bunch of lines, and it's just slowly moving away from the original image.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, from a design point of view, we're kind of moving away from skeuomorphism. But it's played a massive role in a design and user interface over the last like couple of decades, and before that even.
And we'll continue.
And that's why I learned this week the word skeuomorph.
Skeuomorph.
That's really interesting.
I like it. I'll look out for that more and more, I think.
Yeah.
But yes. Now it's one of those that's like, now you mention it. Mm. Bloody good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So thanks for that, Alex. Yeah.
Sorry. I don't think it was interesting enough to end the podcast on it, though. But I am interested to know to know the riddle answer, Robin.
Well, you can know the riddle answer.
Dirty riddle. Dirty. Dirty, dirty.
Is it a dirty riddle? I don't know. I shall reveal the answer to the riddle. But if you like, I have grabbed a very short evolution-themed quiz.
Online. Oh, yeah.
Did you just find one online?
I just found one online.
Okay. It's not how we do things around here.
It's not how we do things. We normally write these things with incredible effort. It takes decades of research for each quiz.
Okay.
If you count the years by all the people whose knowledge we use, it kind of adds up to decades, possibly.
Is this going to be a non-counting quiz in the pantheon of quiz leaderboards?
I think it should do, because it's not 10 questions and it'll just get confusing because the number of quizzes that we've each done will get kind of out of sync.
This one's just for fun.
And there's another twist as well, which I shall explain momentarily. Hello, and welcome to the impromptu quiz that I was totally not expecting to happen. but thank you for joining us, Alex. I'm thrilled that the three of us can be here. It's always better with a threesome. Now, I have grabbed a quiz online that is themed around evolution, since we were talking about evolution in the podcast. However, the twist here is that I've just grabbed it whilst we were talking, and I don't actually know what the answers are. So it's a multiple choice quiz. So
this is going to work in a podcast.
This is going to take forever to get through. So what I'm going to do is I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to read out the answers and then the options, and then you can buzz in and say which one you'd like me to select. And when I select it, hopefully it will be confirmed correct immediately.
We're going to have to go through
this.
Could
take
answers,
a long time. That's why it's a short quiz, because if we did 10 questions, this can take forever. Okay. So everyone in the live chat, as always, feel free to join in. But if you're going to be yelling your multiple choice preferences at me, then I may not keep track of it as well as usual these days, because there are four options for each question. So this could be chaos. But you're very welcome to try, by all means. Right, gentlemen, do you have buzzers?
Just grab it here now.
I've got one. The buzzer.
Okay. Yeah.
Show me your buzzer, or play me your buzzer, Alex.
French champagne.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be the classic.
Celebrated for choice. Six months.
And Martinus.
Oh, that's racist.
It's racist. It's David Brent from The Office. I don't know what the buzzer bit at the beginning was, but I think it kind of works, I guess.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It worked very well, actually. Yeah, sounds like he's going through a door or something.
Yeah, not sure about that bit. Yeah.
Okay.
It will do.
Okay. Well, fingers on buzzers and question number one. Which of the following options is not a component of the theory of evolution by natural selection? Okay.
It does feel like a GCSE quiz.
Which of the following four options is not in the theory of evolution?
Okay.
Option one, competition for food and space, variation among species, inheritance of acquired characteristics, or survival and reproduction. So those options were competition for food and space, variation among species, inheritance of acquired characteristics, survival and reproduction. I heard champagne.
Okay.
What was the second one?
Variation among species.
I'll go with that one. They all sounded like they would be part of it. Or not.
They did.
Okay. Option B, I'm going to go for.
Should I say my option two? What's the best way of doing this?
Yeah, I can confirm that is incorrect, Alex.
No, yeah.
God, what?
It's one of four, isn't it?
So the other option.
What was number four again?
Number four was survival and reproduction.
And the first one was competition
for food and space. And the third
competition
one was,
for food and space.
That's your answer. You think it's competition for food and space is not a component of theory of evolution.
Competition and for food and space, yeah.
That is also incorrect, I'm afraid. So you have a chance to get another point. Yes, Alex.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go for number four then. If it's not, then we have this is going to be a bit embarrassing.
I'm afraid it is the option you haven't selected.
What's one, two, and three? What was
inheritance it? Of acquired characteristics.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
That's an expression, I guess, of evolution. Rather than
what was the question?
Which of these was not a component of the theory?
This
evolution?
Is why we curate the quiz before we start.
I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone said three.
Well, I said this might be tricky. Well, moving swiftly on to question number two.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Because the quizmaster cannot be faulted. A structure that seems to serve no purpose in an organism. Is called what?
Okay.
Is it called homologous, vestigial, dichotomous, or fossilized?
The French champagne.
Yes, Alex.
100% the second one. What was it? What was that called?
The second one was vestigial.
Yeah, I bet my life
vestigial,
on that.
Vestigial, that sounds right.
And you would be correct.
Yes.
Well done. Well done. That's a
don't
point.
Know what I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah, like a vestige, a leftover. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
In fact, I was reading one of the animals I was looking at for the topic of this podcast was the lunar moth, I think it's called. Caught my eye, I guess, because it had lunar in the name. Mm. But apparently that has a vestigial mouth.
It doesn't use well.
It has a non-functioning mouth and no digestive system. So it just dies.
So would oh my god,
sorry mate, you're fat.
So like would something in humans be like our appendix?
Yeah, that's probably
vestigial.
We've got it, but nobody knows. Or that isn't there like a stump of the tailbone at the base of our spine or something like that
the
as well.
Coccyx.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you sit on it and it really hurts.
What's the point
yeah, why don't you just get rid of it?
Some people were born with a little bit more of it, aren't they? It has to be shaved off.
So let me just catch up. A few people in the chat actually got that one.
Well done.
That was Funky Monkey 1235. Nice. And Hey Now Paulie. And Budavine Rima. Sorry if I got your name wrong. I'm not very good at pronouncing unfamiliar things. By the way, let's establish a system. We've got three different answers there. One, someone said the word, someone said number two, and someone said number B, or letter B. Let's go with letters. Let's go A, B, C, D. Yeah. Let's establish that as the system.
Who wants to be a millionaire style? Keep it classic.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so question number three.
Can we ask the audience?
Sure. Why not?
Millionaire style.
Fingers on buzzers.
Okay.
In science, theories are A, an educated guess, B, a known fact, C, absolute and unchangeable, or D, the best explanation for a set of data or observations. I think I heard before I heard.
But you can't buzz and then read out the rest of the options.
I hadn't. Well, that's true. Actually, that's fair enough.
Buzz halfway through.
That's true. Well, Alex, quickly, A, B, C, or D?
I'm going to go D.
Yeah.
Would
you say B or D?
D. Sorry, D.
Yeah, it's B D, or D. Yeah, it's clearly D.
Which one?
D. Duh.
D. D for Derek.
For Derek.
Yeah.
So the one that I read out after you buzzed in.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. Classy. That is correct. It's the best explanation for a set of data.
I was going to say B, actually. that was what I buzzed in.
B, right, okay.
But then, D came up and I was like, yeah, that sounds better.
As it happens...
That's just cheating.
Martin came up with that idea, so he gets a point as well. Because it was clearly going to be his answer as well. So 2-1.
I'm just going to buzz. I'm just going to buzz at the beginning of the question, and then can you read out all the answers, and then I can guess.
I will.
Then I get to answer first.
This is chaos. I apologize for doing an impromptu, unprepared quiz, and I've broken all. I just don't know what I'm doing. I just don't know what I'm doing. All right, going on
well,
to the next.
Don't give Martin a point. He'd like stick to your guns, Robin. Don't
you? Right, got a point. You got a point. He got a point. It's 2-1.
Okay, what's the question number 4?
Martin didn't buzz in time.
Question number 4, go on. Question number 4.
Well, wait a second. I forgot to look at the chat and see who got it right. And the people who got it right were Doom, Funky Monkey 1235, and Cat Jab were the first three people in the chat. But a few other people got it too, so give yourselves points. Well done. In fact, Funky Monkey 1235 clarifies and says that option A was a hypothesis.
Ooh. Very good.
Mm. Very good. Very good. Oh. Oh, sorry. There are some comments about vestigial stuff. That was quite interesting. But why would I read them out? So on to the next question, which may or may not be the last question. I don't know. Okay. Any variation that can help an organism survive in its environment. Was that a buzz?
Yeah, yes. That was Martin's
just
response.
Just go through the answers.
No, Martin. No. Okay, give me your best guess. A, B, C, or D.
No, the way it works is that you have to read out loud.
I changed my rule after you protested last time, so go ahead.
We're clearly impromptu, Martin. We're learning as we go. You got a point in the last one, just as I got a point, so stop complaining.
So I'll read the question again. So any variation that can help an organism survive in its environment is called a what? A, B, C, or D?
It's called A, B, C, or D. It's definitely B.
I would guess the answer. I think I know what it would be.
It's B. But I'll wait till the answers and then I'll answer again. That's how it works.
You got to guess the letter.
It is not B.
Ah.
See, going again. Wait a minute. You can't do that. Alex, well,
that goes against all of our established rules.
I will now continue to read out the question.
Okay.
The options are A, adaptation, B, characteristic, C, competition, or D, vestigial structure.
Okay, well, what I was expecting to come up didn't come up.
Wait a minute, just shout
out, Martin.
Where are you shouting out the answer? What's going on?
Could you repeat the question for me, please, Robin? Thank you.
Say it twice already.
I'll go with A, but because I'm choosing A, not because Martin's
called
it.
It's because you're a copycat and don't have a critical thought of your own. So
I shall read the question
again.
Don't worry, I shall read the remaining options, and then whoever buzzes in may give their answer.
Okay.
Any variation that can help an organism survive in its environment is called A.
Yeah. A. Oh, I've got
yes, Alex.
I would like to say A, Robin.
You would be correct. Well done.
This is ridiculous.
I feel like I'm herding cats now.
I think we should stop this here.
And
this
I feel is, like it's my is... fault for bringing the cats in. Okay. Oh, we will stop soon because I'm running out of questions. So okay. I think I've done 5 questions. You can't. I haven't even, what's that? No. I'm not
accepting.
That's not an attempt. No.
Is the answer C?
I think you should take away his point, Robin. He's not taking it seriously. He's not respecting the quiz authority.
I don't think he is taking it seriously. No. Okay. Well, there are 2 more questions for the record.
Okay. To be fair, as soon as you said it doesn't count towards the quiz totals, that was it.
All right, he's gone. Just hooked himself up to the IV of whiskey and beer, and he's just gone.
No, I wish.
Gone already. Right, so next question. Oh no, sorry, my apologies. In the chat, did anybody get the correct answer? Lots of people. The first 3 people to get it correct were, well, driving with Matt, but he also guessed several others, so don't think that counts.
He's understood how this game is played. He's got taken a page out of Martin's book.
Yeah, he has, isn't he? Doom, Funky Monkey 1235, and Cat Jab again. Well done. Well done. And a few others. Give yourselves a point because, yeah, as Hey Now Paulie says, Martin's gone rogue. And Driving with Matt says, shambles, lol. Yeah.
So Chester Johnson says,
I feel like George Osborne.
Martin needs a 1-game ban and a fine. But I mean, to be fair, if this was adjudicated properly and Alex hadn't have buzzed in, and then waited for all the answers and then given an answer, we, you know, it wouldn't have been an issue.
I mean, I can see the point for that one question, Martin. And I,
but you got a point for it as well.
You a point
we got
for
the
it.
Exact same yeah. points.
Yeah, but, so,
the,
but that's like, not the point. You would have said you said that you would have said B when you buzzed in. So when you buzzed in, you needed to give your answer. You didn't. You waited to the questions, and then that forfeited me the option to answer D and get the point.
But you yelled out D. You yelled out D and gave him the idea to change his answer to
no,
D.
No, that was A on the next one.
No, no. No, no. He changed his answer to D because you said, was it B or D? It was D. And then he went, but look, I gave you a point anyway.
I know,
guys, stop bickering. It's damaging me. Don't
okay.
do this.
Okay, final question.
It's damaging.
Okay. Final question. But actually, I have more questions, but I won't.
It's a shambles. And the answer's okay. C.
I will actually respect your authority, Robin, and I will wait to hear the answers
Thank
first.
You. Before Thank you. Yeah, I feel like Cartman. Respect my authority. Okay, final question. Yeah. The dog breeds that we have today were developed through...
True.
Was it... was it A, natural selection, B, artificial selection,
French...
C, sexual selection, or D, acquired selection? I heard a buzzer. Yes, Alex.
That is A, final answer, please.
Incorrect.
Damn. What were the options again, please, Robin? Authority figure.
Are you playing now? Yeah, you're playing? Okay. Now, the remaining options are artificial selection, sexual selection, or acquired selection.
Artificial selection. No, did we artificially breed the dogs? Probably. Or C or D, which was
acquired.
Acquired selection. Mm. Acquired. That sound artificial doesn't sound quite right, does it? Although it probably was artificial, it doesn't sound right. So I'm gonna go for D.
That is also incorrect.
I'm going to go ahead and say B then.
Yeah, artificial.
It is artificial selection, also known as selective breeding.
That's it. Yeah, that was my first thought. I should have stuck with it. Yeah, wasn't C then. No, not sexual selection, even though that is probably, you know.
I don't know what that might be, to be honest.
Yeah.
Isn't that how reproduction works?
Isn't that part of evolution? Is that just Tinder?
Dog Tinder. What would dog Tinder be called? Woof.
Yeah,
probably just because of Wolf. A few people got that.
Chasing your tail. I don't know.
Quite a few people said B. First three people to say it were Driving with Matt, Old Greg's Creamy Baileys, and Funky Monkey 1235. Well done. But most people got that. Far ahead of the two of you, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's
all right. But thank you for your patience, everybody. Watching us live on YouTube or listening to us on a podcast platform of your choice. I appreciate this was probably very painful because I was so unprepared and disorganized. But here we are. We're committed to bringing you the maximum entertainment that we can, even when we start the podcast, a man down, a quiz short, and one Scottish Prime Minister away from independence. But...
I mean, you can blame me. You can blame me if you want, but ultimately, I think there's only one person we can blame here, and that's Nicola Sturgeon.
She shouldn't have done what she did. Yeah, if she didn't stand down today. Everything would be fine.
Yeah, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
No, I am sorry that I came in late today.
Glad you joined us.
It's fine. There was some chaotic energy going on in the middle of the podcast there.
Oh
especially.
My gosh! Absolute chaos. Yeah. Just Alex, remember. When you make it to the top, remember where you came from, yeah?
What?
Come back on as a guest.
First okay. Metro of Scotland, Alex, is on the Just Interesting podcast.
Oh, yeah.
There is one more thing to do, and that would be to reveal the riddle answer.
Oh, yeah.
I'll read the riddle again because it was so much fun to read. If I could, I would do a Tim Curry voice for it, but I don't think no one can do it.
What about
Tim
Matt
Curry
Berry voice? Do a Matt Berry voice.
Matt Berry. New York City. A curious thing hangs by a man's thigh under the lap of its lord. In its front, it is pierced. It is stiff and hard. It has a good position. When the man lifts his own garment above his knee, he intends to greet with the head of his hanging object that familiar hole, which is the same length and which he has often filled before. They kind of went off the rails a bit there, but it was an attempt.
Yeah. I've got an idea. And also, Robin, by the way, that will become a quiz buzzer for next week. Is it a belt buckle?
Nice guess. No, but nice guess.
What? Oh, I was so convinced.
Sword. The hole that he's filled before.
If it is just penis, then I'm going to be a bit annoyed.
Oh, goodness.
Some people in the chat have got it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So earlier you thought off, maybe it would be a sword sheath. Or a sword. Mm. It is not that.
Yeah.
Alex suggested belt. Mm. It is not that, but you're both in the right kind of area. Think, because this is Anglo-Saxon from early medieval period, so it is a key. Well done to everybody who got that. Because, of course, keys, locks, early locks and keys, they were very large because it's a complex mechanism and they didn't have the fine tools to make it. So they'd have a big key and it would always just hang from their belt on a loop between at the front between their thighs. It is a key. So
that's a bit out of date now, isn't it? It doesn't really translate to
I think it does. I keep my key, mate, between my thighs.
And who keeps their keys between their thighs?
In the back pocket now,
Oh, thanks, Robin. Good one.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for enduring it. But do you want to know what the Anglo-Saxon for stiff and hard is?
What's that?
Stiff and hard. There you go.
Nice. Very simple. Well read. Yeah.
Well, it's never all English, so that's where we get it from.
Very nice. Well, thank you, Robin.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining me. Thank you again to all of our wonderful Patreon supporters and YouTube members who keep the channel going. I think that's come to the end of the episode. Sorry about that. Short, but also somehow endless quiz. And thank you. Thank you, both of you, for joining me and bringing some cool animal facts, as well as your cool facts again this week. And
Cat Jeb says... Wait, should we kill the pandas? And apparently no. Quite a few of us think yes, but overwhelmingly the decision is no. So, you know, put your knives down. We're going to hold off on killing the pandas, at least for tonight.
It's a bit worrying that 35%... Yeah, it's a bit worrying that 35% said yes, but fair enough. Yeah. But then Martin did give a very impassioned plea, so...
For Sparta!
Yeah. Oh, dear. All right.
There we go.
Well... Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.